And now to resume the life of Mary Southern. A decision made today, the single yes or no of one man, may or may not change the entire life of Mary Southern and her husband, Max. For today is the day when she, Dr. John Benson, the Reverend Blaine, and Daddy Stratford are to make their appeals to the district attorney to have Max Sanders' trial postponed on the grounds of insufficient evidence. Only Danny Stratford is holding out to testify against Max because he believes that the undue excitement caused by him during his young wife's confinement has caused her to become an invalid for life. More than that, enemies of Mary and Max, and Mr. Pruce and Merlin Davis, who want to gain control of the Sanders interests, have very cleverly offered Danny a chance to send Phyllis to Switzerland, where there is a chance for a cure, if he will assure them that his testimony will be against and not for Mary's husband. It is mid-morning of the next day. Mary, Daddy Stratford, Reverend Blaine, Dr. John Benson, and Max, who was brought over by Sheriff Barstow for the occasion, are just being introduced to the district attorney by Dr. John.
Miss McGraw, this is Mrs. Sanders.
How do you do, Mr. McGraw?
Well, I always thought you were an older woman, Mrs. Sanders. Well,
careful there, D.A., and don't get your prisoner jealous.
Quiet, Max. Hey, this is Reverend Blaine.
How do you do?
Mr. Stratford, we call him Daddy.
How do you?
Of course, I think you know Mr. Sanders.
Yes. Sure, we're old friends.
Well, sit down, won't you, please?
Mary, you sit over here by me.
Thank you, John.
Does this sun bother you, Mr. Stratford?
No, no, I like it. Maybe it'll make my hair grow.
Well, now, is everyone comfortable? How about you, Reverend?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, I must say, Mr. McGraw, you're the most pleasant district attorney I've ever met.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Sanders.
And don't let her fool you, Mr. McGraw. She's just trying to flatten
me. No.
Well, if we're all seated now, I'd like to start this little meeting.
I think that's a good idea, John.
Mr. District Attorney, may I have the floor?
You may, Dr. Benson. Proceed.
I suppose you can see by the casual air of my friends here, the good Reverend Blaine, Daddy Stratford, and Mary Southern.
Hey, you left me out, Doc.
Oh, yes, and our esteemed prisoner, Mr. Max Sanders.
Yeah, thank you.
That we're not in what you might call a fighting mood.
Well, that's disappointing. For a novelty, no one ever comes to the district attorney unless he wants to fight.
Well, maybe we won't disappoint you later.
Get to the point, Doc.
Yeah, quit stalling, will you?
Max, you've got to be quiet.
Oh, yes.
Mr. McGraw, I asked for this appointment today to make a formal request to have Max Sanders' trial postponed indefinitely.
Is that all you want?
Is that sarcasm, Mr. McGraw?
I suppose so, Mr. Sanders.
I'll finish my little speech, Mr. McGraw.
Yes, go ahead, Doctor.
The Reverend Blaine here, Daddy Stratford, Mary and I are going to testify that Max Sanders intended to turn the gambling syndicate over to the authorities at a time when he was certain that the men higher up and not just the underdogs of the ring could be caught.
That's right, Mr. McGraw.
You don't have conclusive proof of that, do you?
Only a letter which Max gave to Mary outlining in detail his entire plan. And requesting that it be read only after Max was dead. Mary brought it to me, and I read it.
And I'll testify to that, Mr. D.A.
But the letter has no postmark on it. No proof that it was written before Max was caught.
We know that, Mr. McGraw.
That's why we're appealing to you for a postponement. We know that we don't have conclusive proof of Max's innocence, and yet, on the other hand, we also know that you don't have conclusive proof of his guilt.
Well, that's ridiculous.
All right. What is it?
I've got plenty of proof.
There's not one single person whom you've already caught and convicted who can testify against Max Tilly Sanders because they've never seen him. Is that right, Max?
Yeah, that's right, Doc.
And we'll testify that Max was working against the gamblers and not with them.
What about this man, Cheney?
But you didn't catch him, Mr. McGraw. He got away.
I'll catch him. Don't worry.
But you haven't as yet. Look, Mr. McGraw, there's Reverend Blaine. His testimony would certainly carry weight with any jury. Reverend, please tell the district attorney what you know.
Well, Mr. McGraw, I can swear on the Holy Bible that I know that Max fully intended to turn over the gambling syndicate to the authorities. I not only read the letter he wrote to Mary before the raid, but I also had several talks with him during his activities with Mr. Cheney.
Well, then, Reverend, why didn't you as a clergyman tell the law?
I was sworn to secrecy, Mr. McGraw. I trust you understand what that means to a clergyman.
Huh? Oh, yes, of course. Well, can you tell me why he was sworn to secrecy?
Please, Reverend, don't tell him.
I must, Mary.
Sure, Mary. Might as well bring it all out in the open. Now, go ahead, Reverend.
It was because Max wanted to prove to his wife, Mary, that he was not good enough for her.
What?
Max felt that Mary here would be happier if he were out of the way. He wanted to make it easy for her. So he chose a plan which would not only rid Sanders and the rest of the country of a vicious gambling ring, but would make it appear that he was a member of it. In that way, he would be caught, convicted, and Mary could be free, if she chose to be.
What? That's the most ridiculous story I've ever heard in my life.
Every word of it's true, Mr. McGraw.
They'll laugh you out of court with a story like that.
Of course they will, Mr. McGraw. That's why we want you to help us.
I am a district attorney. I defend the people, not the criminals.
It's your duty to defend justice, isn't it, Mr. McGraw?
Of course, but if I defended a cotton wool story like that, they'd laugh me right out of office.
You're not afraid of your office, are you, Mr. McGraw?
It sure sounds like it.
I don't like to talk like
that.
Wait
a minute, please. Please, let's not get excited. Mr. McGraw, what we're trying to prove to you is that if you only wait until you've gathered more conclusive proof, either for or against Max, you may prevent yourself from sending an innocent man to jail. Now, we're not here to ask you to quash the indictment of the grand jury. All we're asking for is a postponement of trial until, well, until you've captured Charles Cheney, who, after all, is the only man who can give the jury the real truth as to whether Max was really working for his syndicate or not.
In other words, Mr. D.A., if you're going to convict the old hoodlum, do a good job of it or don't do it at all.
Well, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Has anybody got a smoke?
Here's
a
cigar.
One will be
enough. Thanks, Mr. Stratford. And that's a darn good cigar, Mr. D.A.
Now, Daddy, don't accuse him of accepting a bribe.
You know, it's really to your own good, Mr. McGraw, if you'll postpone Max's trial. Certainly the jury will be influenced by the testimony of the Reverend and Daddy and Dr. Benson. They've lived here. Well, Daddy's been here all his life. Dr. Benson certainly a respected citizen.
There have been doubts about that.
And the Reverend, chance of getting a full conviction with the evidence you have at the moment.
Then if you're sure of that, why are you bothering with me? Why not let her come to trial and find out?
Frankly, because Max and I can't take the chance at the moment.
The town is against them, Mr. McGraw. Max is head of the Sanders interests. He's got to protect them.
If Max stays in jail until the trial and during the trial at a time like this, well, frankly, we'll lose everything.
All we're asking for is a little time. Until you capture Cheney, then you can have your trial and be certain you're meeting out justice.
Will you do it, Mr. McGraw? Please.
Well, I suppose your request is reasonable enough. But if you remember, when I got into this thing, I promised the people of this state, and I promised Governor McDaniels that I'd put every person connected with the gambling syndicate behind bars.
But, Mr. McGraw, Max wasn't connected with the gambling syndicate.
That's for us to prove, Mrs. Sanders.
But you can't prove it.
Unfortunately for you, I think we can.
How?
I noticed that you've never once mentioned Mr. Stratford's son, Danny. Max Sanders, tell your wife, the Reverend Blaine, Mr. Stratford, and Dr. Benson, who notified the governor about the gambling activities.
Danny did.
And whose wife suffered a horrible relapse at the birth of her baby, all indirectly caused by you, her brother's activities in this gambling syndicate.
Okay, it was Danny. I know all that.
You see, Mrs. Sanders, and gentlemen, I've got proof enough to send Max behind the bars. I've got plenty of proof in one single witness, the son of Mr. Stratford, and a friend to all of you, who has agreed to tell the whole truth on the stand. I'm sorry, Mrs. Sanders. I'm very sorry.
Well, I suppose we might.
Don't cry, Toots. It's for the best, maybe.
But Max is playing. Oh, why didn't Danny come to us?
Danny?
Oh, hey, it's Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Danny.
I was just talking about you. You know these people over there.
Yeah, I know them. Hello, Reverend.
Hello, Danny.
Is anything wrong, son?
No, Danny. Not anymore. Everybody go on and sit down.
Danny, what are you trying to say?
What is it, son?
Well, I don't know how to start, but well, just be quiet and listen to me. And you too, Mr. McGraw, because I think you'll be more interested in this than anyone else.
What are you going to say, Danny? Have you changed your mind about testifying against Max? Then why did you say your words would be interesting to the district attorney?